Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today in this 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time, the dog days of summer, and it's very hot out, of course, and we really want to take care and listen to those who checking on elderly people, checking on women and men and women who have young families, young children. Make sure you stay hydrated. Make sure you stay in the shade, stay out of the direct sun, and if possible, spend some of the day in air conditioning, maybe the main parts of the day in air conditioning, then, return to your homes at night. But, my brothers and sisters, the weather is a source of constantly reminding us that we're not in charge, and that, our lives someday will end. And we will be held to account for what we've done in our lives. And my brothers and sisters, we're all sinners. Got a little pushback, of course, on last week's show. And, sometimes it's good to have that, because I want there to be this healthy discussion about sin. I really do. I want there to be this healthy dialogue about what is best for society, what is best for the world, what is best for our community. And when we shut ourselves off politically, when we join these political parties, Democrats, Republicans, CNN, Fox News, when we join those organizations, when we join ourselves to those, and if we're Christians, we should not be adjoining ourselves to them. Now, I know that's very lopsided right now, because all Democrats are not pro-life. There's hardly a one. I don't think there's one running for president who has any type of pro-life attitude that babies are precious, And so that's staggering. That is a staggering thing. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we must dialogue. We must talk about these things. Christ talked about these things. Christ wants us. God wants us to talk about these things and work these things out. Not to, shout the other person down or shout the other side down, or I'm going to get the Supreme Court to pass a law to make sure that, you go to jail if you say anything that I don't like, or it hurts my feelings, or you can't say that I'm a sinner. But I'll tell you what, my brothers and sisters, read the newspaper, look at the internet. We are all sinners, horrible sinners, some of us worse than others. There's no doubt about that. And so we have lots of work to do. And, my brothers and sisters, I do not come from the side of this, from atop the holy mountain. I do not. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've been to the bottom of bottoms. I don't want to go any further down to the bottom. And, tomorrow is, the feast day of St. Mary Magdalene. And it's a beautiful feast day. It's a day of conversion for sinners. It really is. And she is a great, prophetess of our time, and she really is. So I'm going to read a little thing out of her book, Saint Mary Magdalene, Prophetess of Eucharistic Love by Sean Davis. And Sean Davis was in Kalamazoo not too long ago, a very holy Catholic priest, Father Sean Davidson. That's from Ignatius Press. But I'm going to read a page out of that later on, but I'm going to get right into the scripture readings. Not to start talking and preaching too much right at the beginning. But if you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, stuff that's going on out at Nazareth, we're still trying to save Nazareth. Go to savenazareth.com. Trying to save the mother house and chapel, historic mother house and chapel out there. Please send emails. Make phone calls. Do whatever you can. Call the Pope. Believe me, we've sent letters and letters to Rome and none of them have been answered. Very discouraging. Very discouraging. You can also go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo, diokzoo.org. If you're interested in about the Catholic Church, joining the Catholic Church, we've got our problems. We got our sinners, from the highest ranks to the lowest ranks. We've got sinners and, doing our best to, address those things. And I think it's a good example. I really do is, when someone is living the life of sin, when they are unrepentant, they should not be in leadership roles. They should not be in a leadership position. Okay? Just like anyone who's in charge of a major corporation. You know, if they're living a very immoral lifestyle, you know, most people would say, get them out of there. You know, get somebody in there who is leading a life of high morals and a life that's dedicated towards humanity, towards doing the right thing. So I'll talk a little bit about that. So here we go. So our first reading today is from the book of Genesis, very fitting, where God is promising us this Holy Spirit. So our first reading is Genesis 18, 1 through 10. The Lord appeared to Abram by the terebinth of Mamre, and he sat in the entrance of his tent. While the day was growing hot, looking up, Abraham saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them. And bowing to the ground, he said, "Sir, if I may ask you this favor, please do not go on past your servant. Let some water be brought, that you may bathe your feet, and then rest yourselves under the tree. Now that you have come this close to your servant, let me bring you a little food, that you may refresh yourselves, and afterwards you may go on your way." The men replied, "Very well, do as you have said." Abraham hastened into the tent and told Sarah, "Quickly, three measures of fine flour. Knead it and make rolls." He ran to the herd, picked out a tender choice steer, and gave it to the servant, who quickly prepared it. Then Abraham got some curds and milk, as well as the steer that had been prepared, and set these before the three men. And he waited on them under the tree while they ate. Then they asked Abraham, "Where is your wife Sarah?" He replied, "There, in the tent." One of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful. Beautiful reading from Genesis, and of course this beautiful promise given to Abraham. Of course that continues on Genesis 18, 1 through 10. Our next reading is from Colossians. Colossians 1, chapter 1, 24 through 28. "Brothers and sisters, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister, in accordance with God's stewardship given to me to bring to completion for you the word of God, the mystery hidden from the ages and from generations past. But now it has been manifest to his holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. It is Christ in you, the hope for glory. It is he whom we proclaim, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next reading, our gospel reading today, is Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. That's Luke 10, 38 through 42. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of this Gospel wipe away our sins. So my brothers and sisters, some powerful readings and kind of fitting too. You know, we see, the Feast of Saint Mary Magdalene is tomorrow and Saint Martha is on the 29th. And somehow, some way, the church in its great wisdom, Christ in his great wisdom, has brought us this Gospel reading today. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how this all fits together. And here's the good news and the bad news, my brothers and sisters. The bad news first. The ball is in your corner. And the good news is the ball is in your corner. Now, what do I mean by that? And what do these scriptures mean by this? And the simplicity of Jesus Christ, the simplicity of God. What it means is this. God speaks to us very simply. We see in our first reading with Abraham, the great prophet Abraham, of which all the major religions look to Abraham. But do they look to Abraham the same way as we do as Catholics? Probably not. The Catholic Church is a sacramental church. It is a church of grace, great grace. And it is a church of community. And I think, my brothers and sisters, that is why we hold so fast to these seven great sacraments that we have, especially baptism and the Holy Eucharist. And we see this in kind of a certain way here in our first reading, you know, this preparing of the meal, that Abraham prepares this meal for these three men who are, what some would say, our angels. And what the church would say are angels. But also this promise of the Holy Spirit. That God tirelessly calls each person to this mysterious encounter with himself. Prayer unfolds throughout the whole of human history of salvation as a reciprocal call between God and us. It's very simple, my brothers and sisters. You either want relationship with God or you do not. And I assure you, I have lived that life of not really wanting the relationship with God. Drinking, carousing, doing my own thing. My way or the highway. Unteachable. Arrogant, prideful, full of myself. It is a very ugly way to live, my brothers and sisters, but it is a choice. You know, love, we talked about love a little bit last week, but love is an act of the will. What we will. And as we will to be nasty and closed off and mean and hard-hearted, and an atheist can be this way as much as a religious person, whatever church you go to, whatever temple you go to, whether you call yourself a Buddhist or whatever, a Muslim, a Jew, no religion at all. I belong to the Baptist Church. I'm saved. But you're mean and nasty to your neighbor, or to your wife, or to your children. My brothers and sisters, you are not in communion with God. Not the good God. The God of the universe. This God that Abraham is speaking of. We see in this relationship with Colossians, God has this providence of God. In the Catholic Church, this focuses in on this in 307. And I want to read that. So in case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich. This is the Epiphany Radio Program you're listening to here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today and this beautiful Sunday. And please, you know, in this heat, check on people, older people who you may know or neighbors. Buy somebody a fan. You know, if you have the money, buy somebody a little air conditioner, a little window air conditioner. Don't just give it to them. Put it in for them. You know, put it in and take it out for them. You know, maybe it's something you can do for them. You know, some of them only $99 or less. And that would be something really beautiful to do for someone during these very hot days in this very the heat of summer. So I want to read this. It's so beautiful from the Catechism 307, this providence of God. This providence of God. Let me read this. To human beings, God even gives the power of freely sharing in his providence, entrusting them with the responsibility of subduing the earth and having dominion over it. God thus enables men and women to be intelligent and free causes in order to complete the work of creation, to perfect in harmony for their own good and for their neighbors. Though often unconscious collaborators with God's will, they can also enter deliberately into the divine plan by their actions, their prayers, and their sufferings. They then fully become God's fellow workers and co-workers for his kingdom. Do you hear that, my brothers and sisters? It is an act of the will, your relationship with God. So today, let today be the day that you stop making excuses, silly excuses for things. You know, if there was abuse that's happened in the past, it's horrible. You know, by parents or uncles or, you know, people who spoke badly from you to you, or even from abuse from within the church. And I tell you, if you think it's any of this stuff has been criminal or anything like that, with any individual, call the police. Call the police. Make a report of it. But my brothers and sisters, don't hold on to the things where someone was rude to you. Someone was nasty to you, and I apologize. I apologize. On behalf of the church, I apologize. I'm sorry that you've been mistreated. I'm sorry that someone said unkind words to you, that you had a bad experience with a deacon or a priest or a sister or a bishop or a cardinal or a pope. But my brothers and sisters, our relationship is with Jesus Christ. Who we stand before and who we work for is Jesus Christ. We must grow up. We must break out of these chains of bondage that the political parties, especially the political parties in this country, beg us and tell us to join one side or the other, or be destroyed by one side or the other. Break loose of it. Break loose of the addiction of news and media and tweeting and emailing and hatred. break loose of it and become a follower of Jesus Christ for his kingdom. Christ transfigures us, aims us, strengthens us in anticipation of his passion and the ascent to the mountain of Calvary, the sacrament of his body. You hear that? Christ dies on the cross, my brothers and sisters. Not your pastor. Not the televangelist. Jesus Christ. Not your imam. Jesus Christ. God incarnate. God come here. God made man. Yes, made man. To save us. And then finally this, our gospel reading. And it's very interesting too. But also this, I have to mention this about Colossians. These other facts about Colossians. In fact, Jesus' desire associated with his redeeming sacrifice, those who were to be the first beneficiaries. Christ transfigures us. This nuptial union of Christ and his church, a great mystery. She, the church, is also the mystery with Christ, the groom. Christ marries us. Yes, even the men. Men and women both. Christ marries us. This is love, my brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about sex here. Okay? That's another kind of love, true love, which brings children into the world. But this true love and how we treat our bodies. And finally this beautiful thing with Mary Magdalene. And I just want to mention this really quickly here because there's no teaching in the Catholic Church on this little piece of scripture with Luke and Martha and Mary. And of course, there's always been this controversy of who is Martha and Mary, and that this is Mary Magdalene who is speaking with Christ. How many people will say, well, Mary Magdalene, she was just a prostitute. She was not. She lived the worldly life. She was a very wealthy person. They were a very wealthy family. They were a very wealthy family. And with Martha, Mary, and their brother. And I'm not going to be able to think of his name. It's terrible. But I want to read this. I want to read this out of this book. St. Mary Magdalene, Prophetess of Eucharistic Love. Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus. So Lazarus, that family, Lazarus and Martha and Mary, all in the same family. And they were a very wealthy family, very political. But Mary Magdalene, this Mary, was very politically entrenched. And they say that maybe the turning point, it says it in this book, not to be a spoiler, but they say in the book that a big turning point for Mary Magdalene was when she saw John the Baptist's head brought in to the big party, the big feast they were having. See? This degeneration, this degenerate party that they were having. Horrible party. Degradation. An orgy, so to speak, of all sorts. You think about that, and they say that it was a turning point for her, that she had to do something else. This emptiness and this destruction and this hatred had become too much for her. And so, the conversion point, right? So John the Baptist was the prophet chosen to proclaim the word of the arrival of the Lamb of God, who will take away its sins. Mary Magdalene was the one chosen to reveal the same Lamb of God through the prophetic gestures of her love. When, as a repentant sinner, she first threw herself at the feet and received the happy news of the divine mercy. She was showing to Israel the one who was taking her sins away. and the sins of the world upon himself. When again she threw herself at his feet during the banquet at Bethany, she was prophesying the arrival of the moment of those sins would be nailed to the cross and buried in the tomb forever. Such a beautiful thing. So I want you to really go after this book, Saint Mary Magdalene, Prophetess of Eucharistic Love, Father Sean Davidson, a very fine Catholic priest. But my brothers and sisters, this gospel is for us to meditate on. You know, much like when these are left open like this, when the church doesn't have any direct teaching on this gospel, it really is a meditative point for us. But also for us to focus in on the Old Testament as well as this letter from Colossians. Then finally this, I'd like to talk a little bit about this theology of the body. And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, that's a lot about what's going on in today's world, is how do we treat our bodies? What are our bodies made for? Is my body holy? Do I treat my body as something holy? Something that has been created by God, in a certain sense, divinely created? What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing with my body? So we have this from St. Pope John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you go to EWTN.com, you can look this up. It's quite beautiful. The fundamental disquiet in all human existence. In his general audience, the 2nd of June, 1980, the Holy Father continued his catechesis on theology of the body. The shame experienced by man after his fall expressed a deeper shame called cosmic, reflecting a new disorder in his nature, by which not only was the relationship between man and woman affected, but the relationship between body and spirit. Do you hear that, my brothers and sisters? So much of this that we are experiencing, much of this travail, much of this struggle that we experience, we all experience. That is the thing that we have to realize. We all experience the struggle. Even though we've been married, we're always going to be struggling. Struggling for that purity, struggling to be good, struggling to not commit mortal sin, not to commit any sin. We're always going to be struggling for that. So I encourage you to go out to our website, holyfamilyradio.net, which archives our programs. You can also go to deaconlouiszemlich.com. We try to keep that updated. And, of course, SaveNazareth.com. We're trying to continue. You know, they're probably going to tear those buildings down. It could be this summer that they do it. But I ask you, my brothers and sisters, try to reach out. Try to do something. You know, sign the petitions, send emails. And that's SaveNazareth.com. So we're really glad you were with us here today. And please continue to pray. Try to make it to Mass. Try to forgive those religious people or people who are in your lives. Try to forgive them. Because if you do not forgive, my brothers and sisters, you will not be forgiven. That's how it works. I mean, it's hard to hear that. But if you look at the Our Father prayer, you look at the words, you read that in Scripture, and you see it is right there, plain to see. God makes it so simple for us because He loves us so very much. And we love you as well. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you. Bye-bye.